Sheep's wool is one of the most widely used natural fibers in the world, prized for its softness, warmth, and versatility. It's considered a renewable resource because it's produced naturally by sheep through their annual growth cycle and is collected by shearing the sheep. Sheep shearing is done about once or twice a year and before the warmer seasons to prevent heat stress and to allow wool to regrow before winter. But before shearing can occur, they first have to be rounded up into holding pens and sorted into groups. This involves checking the health of the sheep and separating them based on wool quality and color. Once this initial sorting is completed, the sheep are then ready to undergo shearing. Skilled workers use electric shears to remove the wool from the sheep. This process needs to be done carefully to produce high-quality fleece and to avoid any cuts. A typical shearer can shear up to 300 or more sheep per day at about 1 to 2 minutes per sheep.
The most important thing to learn when shearing a sheep is how to hold the sheep. If the sheep is nice and comfortable, it will be relaxed and it makes it a lot easier to shear the sheep. We always shear our sheep the same way in New Zealand. We start on the underside of the sheep and remove the belly wool first. This wool is always very short and very badly stained. We have to keep this separate from the rest of the wool because it's not worth as much as the main fleece. Now we've got the belly wool removed, we can head into the crutch wool. This wool is also very badly stained and needs to be kept separate as well. Now we've got the crutch out of the sheep, we can head into the good wool now. The shearer is now heading into the undermine of the sheep. This is where the good wool starts. You can see it's nice and white. This is the undermine now. This goes right up the sheep's tailbone. And now he's into the blind blow of the sheep. This is done entirely by feel. You cannot see what you're doing here. He's slowly lying the sheep down now. And he's into the long blow. This runs right up the sheep's backbone, the full length of the sheep. He's on the last side of the sheep now, removing the last of the wool around the sheep's face. Making sure to remove all the wool from around the sheep's ears and eyes. If you don't do this, the sheep can become wool blind because the wool just keeps on growing. Last bit of wool and he's finished. And about 300 more to go for this shearer today. And for all that hard work, he's gonna earn about $2 a sheep.
After shearing, the fleece is laid out on a skirting table. Skirting involves removing undesirable parts of the fleece, such as stained or heavily soiled areas and excessive vegetable matter. Once skirting is completed, the clean fleece is then rolled tightly and packed into wool bales. These bales are usually standardized for ease of transportation to the wool cleaners. Once the wool bales have been delivered for cleaning and processing, the wool is removed from the tightly packed bales and spread apart for easier cleaning. The wool then goes through a machine which pulls it apart and aerates the wool, which removes any small particles of dirt or vegetation. This is to prevent dirt going through the washer and minimizing water usage.
You guys look for some contaminants over there, and then that wool is brought over here with a skid steer and put into this contraption. What is this?
This is an opener. It's got teeth at the top. And it's got a grate that's open. So as it's opening, the dirt can fall out of the bottom.
Yeah.
So it's got three different places where it's blended, and then it goes through that opener, gets the dirt out, and then it goes on to the scouring process. So we're just trying to save water.
All right, so lad, what do we have here?
This is the dirt that's coming out of the bottom of the openers. It's basically vegetable matter, short fiber, and dirt. That's what it is. So we're just trying to keep this from getting in the water. That's what it amounts to.
Once the wool is finished on the opener machine, it moves on to being scoured and washed, which washes the raw fleece to remove grease, dirt, and other impurities.
All right, so tell us what we've got here, lad. This is the
first bowl.
First bowl?
Yeah, it goes from opened up, just raw grease wool, into this first bowl. And that water's anywhere from 170 to 180 degrees, and it gets soap added to it. So we're just trying, this bowl catches the majority of the dirt right here.
Tell us what we have here and how that helps that process.
Well, you have a press at the end of each bowl. That's basically, this is our dirtiest water. So we're trying to squeeze that water back out before it goes into the next in the next bowl. We don't want it carrying dirt over, so we leave it in this bowl here. So each bowl has a press, and the clean water works its way in down here at what we call the rinse bowl. That'll be the cleanest water, and it works its way back. You know, these lines are designed to run 24 hours a day and, you know, 7 days a week.
So, lad, this is the third bowl in the line. What's different about this one compared to the fourth?
Well, your first three have soap added to them, and they're trying, you're trying to get the grease off. And then in the last three bowls, you're rinsing it out. You know, there's a lot of people that think, oh, more soap, you know, that's cleaner. But there's a fine line between not enough soap and too much soap, because if you can't get it rinsed back out, well, then it shows up just like the grease does as, you know, a residual grease. So it's bad for processing.
So, lad, we're on the fourth bowl here. This is the drain off the fourth bowl. We notice that the water's gotten a lot cleaner, you know, at this stage. Is it going to get cleaner all the way to the end?
It will. By the time you get to the last bowl, I'm not going to say you can take a bath in it, but you can see through it. You know, you want your cleanest water right before it goes out. That's your final rinse, and you know, you're trying to get the last bit of soap or, you know, whatever's left in the wool out of it before it goes on to the dryer.
So this is the final bowl. Is this where you evaluate what's coming out? And as you mentioned before, the water coming out of this last bowl, you know, it's pretty clear there's not a whole lot left there.
So. No, you don't want a whole lot left here. If it is, that means you're washing some really low yielding, you know, dirty wools.
So we're at the end of the scouring train. That wool's got to be dried. Yeah. What do we got here?
That's a big, all that is a hot air dryer. Steam heats the air, and then it's got big fans in the back. And it's a drum dryer so that you get more surface area. The old school dryers were just a flat belt, but then you just had the length of the dryer, you know, there wasn't as much surface area. So these are drum drives. That wool is actually going up and over six big drums inside there just to make more use of the, you know, the shorter dryer.
All right, so this is wool coming out of the dryer. What do we do now before it needs to be rebaled?
You know, we have pickers that set here, and on this type wool that we're running right now, there's not a lot to take out, but, you know, specific wool types will need, you know, we have to watch for black fiber or paint or whatever it may be. So we have pickers here that are taking out anything that doesn't need to be in it before it goes on. And from here, it goes through two different dusters and through the baling. So
wool came in and bales and goes out in bales. So
right.
Is this the last stage for you?
This is the last stage. As it comes down, we'll bale it. Those bales will average 630 to 650. Every bale that comes out, we core it and do our own moisture and grease test on it. And then it's put on the scale, weighed, written down. There's a cover put over it. And then it's moved to the warehouse and waits for a truck.
Starting in the picking house, we begin to separate the bales and weigh out the amount of fiber needed for a project. A special scale allows us to blend grades of wool or different colors. For example, a blend of natural white wool and stock-dyed black wool creates a heathered gray wool. The process of the picking house also gives buoyance back to the compressed fiber, preparing it for carding. Carding is the process of combining raw wool through a series of barrels wrapped with wire bristles. The last barrel's fine bristles are shaved to create a sheet of wool. That sheet is then split into ribbons that will be fed through two rollers, applying pressure and motion. The ribbons are rolled into loose strands called roving, the first stage of yarn. The rolls of roving are transferred then to a spinning frame. Spinning wool helps bind the individual strands of fiber together, creating a strong, fine thread called yarn. This finished yarn will go through one more step before it's woven into fabric. The last step of yarn production is coning, where the yarn is transferred to cones to begin the weaving process. Woven yardage has two levels of yarn arranged perpendicularly, the warp and the weft. The warp is a series of threads, one next to another, and on average 2,500 yards across. It acts as the foundation of the fabric in which the second yarn, the weft, is woven. The colors used in the warp can also help alter the design. By using a multicolored warp, we create unique stripes and plaids. When a warp beam is complete, it's transferred to a loom for weaving. Each warp yarn is threaded through the heddle or needles of the harness. The harness will raise and lower warp threads, creating a gap for the weft to be inserted through. On a new project, this is done manually and can take as long as 2 business days before the equipment is ready to operate. On the looms, the warp and weft are precisely intertwined into the woven yardage. Next, the woven yardage goes to the burler, where the fabric is taken off the beam and run through a massive backlight, where inspectors look for imperfections or irregularities, repairing them with scissors and tweezers. Finished product that will have a tassel or fringe are woven with a gap in the fabric, where a few inches of warp yarn is left exposed in the weave. The fringer gathers sections of the yarn in that gap, twists it together, and inserts a thread to hold its shape. When the yardage is washed in the next step of the process, the raw threads will bind together to complete the fringe. Fulling is the next step and is a process of intentionally shrinking the material. Using hot water to pull air from the core of the fiber and agitation to encourage the wool to bind in on itself, we're able to create a denser, fuller fabric. We then wash the yardage using detergents to soften the wool itself. Treatments for moth resistance and machine washability can also be added during fulling. Solid colored blankets and throws are woven in natural white and piece dyed. This allows us to adjust to demands for individual colors. After drying the fabric, either after its fulling process or piece dyeing, comes napping. Similar to the carding department, the napper uses barrels wrapped in wire bristles. This helps soften the fabric, giving loft to the fiber. It also helps increase the finished blanket's ability to insulate by creating small air pockets. Our final step to finished product are cutting and sewing. On third floor, the material is cut to individual sized units. Edges are finished with a serge, whip stitch, or tailored hem, and labels and hang tags are added. This is also the department that will give a final quality check. After 22 steps and as much as 10 days, a Faribault blanket, throw, scarf, or accessory is finally ready.